We've had a very good day out here at Diamond Run. It's the Diamond Run Golf Club Charity Classic benefiting Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. These people have been doing amazing work for 150 years, helping sick animals, placing homeless animals into loving homes, distributing nearly 40,000 pounds of food through Ellie's Pet Pantry to families facing financial insecurity, all of that and more. And Bob and I are absolutely honored to be here today, and they're playing golf right through the rain. Bob, I have five Steeler questions for you before we get to the report card. You ready?
I thought we were doing a six-pack. Someone stole one.
Somebody stole one. Yeah, okay. It ended up being a five-pack of questions. Ooh, Limits is on top
of this. I think that's the one he stole. He's drinking it. We're not
exactly there,
so we can't watch what he's doing.
The first one is pertinent to the news of the day, and it's not good news for the Steelers. James Daniels reportedly out for the year with an Achilles injury. I thought he was playing some pretty good football, and the larger point is that the offensive line was already devastated in some ways by injury. Is this something that they can overcome? I'm not talking about him specifically, but all of them together.
The collective, as Mike Tomlin likes to use that word, the collective, that's a tough thing. They've lost three starters now, from Nate Herbig to Troy Fautanu, their number one pick, and now James Daniels, not to mention Seumalo, who's been out.
Yes.
And I think he, hopefully maybe fast-tracked back this week because they're going to need him. They don't have a lot of depth at that position. They're going to start. If he doesn't, you have a rookie in Mason McCormick. You have a rookie in Zach Frazier, and you have a second-year guy in Spencer Anderson. That's inside of your offensive line, and that's not with Broderick Jones being up and down at times over the right side. So I think it's a tough thing to overcome. You're going to have to rely on Justin Fields, I think, a lot more than you normally thought you would have early in games. So I'm encouraged by what he's done the last couple of games to fuel that, and I think he could be good at it.
This is getting very troublesome. It's an epidemic now with the offensive line. Can they overcome it? Yes. But, man, I'd say one more of these, and what are you going to do? Right now, you're kind of lucky in a way. You have Broderick Jones to step in for Fautanu. I think McCormick can be a good player. They liked him to the point where he started over Anderson, so he's, I would think, is going to move over. Frazier looks like a really good young player. Seumalo should be back here, although Tomlin really intimated a couple weeks ago it could be very soon. Like, you're thinking, is he going to play? Two games ago, didn't happen. And then you have Dan Moore, who now looks like the Rock of Gibraltar over there, Bob. So I think they can overcome it, but it's getting to be a major, major concern. Question number two. Have your feelings changed rather suddenly on how good you think this defense is? Mine have.
No, not necessarily. It's too early for me to say that. I still think they have the capabilities of being a good to great defense, and I say great if they come up with turnovers. They have to me, any great defense has to come up with two game-changing plays per game. You know, a pick that you don't expect, somebody makes a great play, returns it, changes the field, results in a touchdown. Something big at a critical time in the game. And until they do that on a consistent basis, they're good, but they're not yet great. But I'm not going to change my opinion that they can't be a strength for this team.
Oh, I definitely think they can be a strength. I think they probably are a strength. But I had them pegged as maybe the best defense around here since 2010. And you really don't get to have a game like that and live up to such a thing. I was just looking at the 2010 team. That was Ben was suspended, I think, at the beginning of that year. They ruined people for like 6 weeks in a row. They had one bad game against Tom Brady, really all year. That was alarming. It wasn't even just the start of the game, although that was horrendous. They got pushed around, thrown around, out-schemed and everything else. If you settle down after that and absolutely shut the Colts down, then maybe you can kind of live with that. But they didn't. Third quarter, early fourth, two more drives where the Colts back-to-back ran 20 plays for 154 yards and 10 points to put the game away. It's just they were awful. And my concern is starting to grow about Patrick Queen. My concern is growing about Minka, as much as I like him. When are we going to get one turnover-worthy play? Although I think he helped force the fumble. help force the fumble yesterday, but it's been over a year, like since January of 23 in the 2022 season, since he had an interception. He never recovers a fumble. He doesn't even defend many passes. I guess that leads to question number three, Bob, regarding Minka. Is it more what they're doing or more what him doing, what he's doing, when we get to the question of what has become of Minka, the center fielder? Does he play enough center field?
The man who's a game changer. Yeah, when he had those six interceptions, that's what you came to expect from him. That's unrealistic, but at least, you know, 3 to 5 a year is doing some really good work back there. I don't know if it's just them not allowing him to be what he was during that six interception year, because he was all over the place. He struck me not as a full-scale Troy Polamalu, but somebody who was doing that sort of thing. They move him up in different looks and linebacking areas, or they can, you know, drop him back and he comes over. It just, we haven't seen enough of it. I agree with you. He's too important for them to have just as a center fielder making tackles when it gets beyond the line of scrimmage. So it's got to be more.
Well, the problem is, if you want to call it a problem, last year he played a lot of de facto linebacker, and he's so great in the box. Like, he's a maniac against the run. You saw him hammer Richardson yesterday, but as far as I recall, that's why he wanted to get out of Miami. I don't want to be a linebacker. I want to be a safety. I want to play center field. So he's getting a lot of money to never come up with turnovers. And it's been a long, his last recovered fumble, what did we say was in the
2021?
2021? Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable. Question number three. Is this Najee Harris's last year with the Steelers for sure? And what do you think of his performance so far this season?
My answer would be yes. I think they made that determination when they decided not to pick up the fifth-year option. I think they like Jaylen Warren. I think they could find other people. So I think from that point of view, yes. It's not that it's overwhelmingly priced. Those running backs don't make the kind of money that, you know, guys in the skill positions do. But as far as his start, just average, I expect more. If he expects more of himself, and maybe, you know, he was frustrated yesterday because he knows 13 carries, 19 yards means people will look at him and say, well, that's not going to get you enough to be where you want to be financially. That has to be playing in his head a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would motivate, and I did. He runs hard. There's no doubt. He's a really tenacious runner. He does not fumble. He protects the ball well. He does those things. But for what he's looking for, probably financially, he needs to be more of an explosive runner, and I don't know that he is explosive.
Well, he's not. I thought he was off to a pretty good start. I think he did some good things. He basically was averaging 70 yards a game, Bob, in the first three games. Not exactly a robust yards per carry, but he's never been that guy, although he went over 4 yards per carry last season. You get 70 yards a game, you're a 1,200-yard rusher. And then
That's 17 games, and that number, 1,200, does not take on the same impact that it did.
I'll take 70 yards a game for my lead runner. I don't think he's a star.
I'm talking from a position of where he's trying to cash in. 70 yards a game is not going to get him the kind of money he wants.
No. I thought he also did some pretty good things in the pass game yesterday, and I wish he'd be more involved in the pass game. But the bottom line on Najee is that he's a singles hitter, period. Love the way he runs. Love the spirit he brings. But when a linebacker on the other team is saying out loud that another guy was better, that's a little eye-opening. And Cordarrelle Patterson was better. It was just such a I don't know what the word is, eye-opening juxtaposition yesterday when you had Patterson breaking every single run and Najee breaking none. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that was direct contrast and, you know, what you expected to see. If I had told you at the beginning of the year or this game that you'd have two guys in there, he's being one of them, who would have the more electric runs, it would have to be Najee Harris. We haven't seen enough of Patterson on a consistent run basis. Boy, he explodes to the hole, and he's hard to bring down. It takes more than one person, which is the same as Najee. The difference was hitting the hole immediately, and I don't think Najee hit as hard as he needed to.
Next question, Bob. The secondary receivers took a little bit of a step forward last week. Scotty Miller, a little bit of Calvin Austin. this week, and now it's really 3 out of 4 weeks and becoming a pattern and an obvious problem, which is why the Steelers very publicly, at least everybody knew about it, what I mean by that, were willing to spend tens of millions of dollars on a number two receiver. They told the world, basically, we think we're deficient in playmakers. We're willing to go way out of our comfort zone to try to get Brandon Ayuk here. That didn't happen.
And good. It didn't happen. He hasn't been very good either.
Really?
No, he hasn't.
Have you watched the receivers around here? I'd take Brandon Ayuk in
not
a second.
Not at $30 million, you wouldn't.
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes,
I would. No, you wouldn't.
Bob.
You shouldn't.
Why?
Because he's not a $30 million guy.
Based on what?
Based on what I see.
What do you see?
Not much.
From him this year?
Yeah, he was all frustrated last year or last week. He got he disrupted practice. You know, I think he's not happy with maybe the targets he's getting. And he also there's no Christian McCaffrey. Deebo Samuel was out for a little bit. He becomes somebody who wants to be targeted more, and I don't know he's been all that targeted. So you look up his numbers, go tell me what they are.
They're not good, but he's off to a slow start. Who cares? He's Brandon Ayuk. The last 2 years, he has 150 catches.
I understand
for 2,400 yards and 15 touchdowns.
That he's a good receiver and would be an upgrade. I've never said that, not that. But what I'm saying is at $30 million, I wouldn't have done $30 million. I just think that's too much money for him specifically. There are other guys who are worth more than that.
How about this issue, though?
The issue is the issue.
Do you agree this is an issue?
Yeah, and you still have a trading deadline to deal with, and there are guys who are going to be available. There are veteran guys who have
– Who?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins is one of them, and the way Tennessee is going, I think they're going to want to get rid of everybody.
Christian Kirk?
Another guy. You know, I mean, these are upgrades.
Would Devontae Adams be more worth it to you? Although he's
hurt. Now, what's that going to cost?
A lot.
I want to see Roman Wilson. Let's talk about what you have here. Why is he not playing? 2 weeks in a row he has been healthy.
Let's get him in the game.
It can't be any worse, can it?
No.
So why not maybe this week?
It can't be any worse. This is a glaring issue. It has become a glaring issue.
But having said that, I thought Justin Fields spread the ball around yesterday. He had Van Jefferson involved. He had, of course, Pickens involved. He had Freiermuth involved. He had Darnell Washington involved. He had Calvin Austin involved. There are a lot of different receivers he went to, which is another sign to me that he is really kind of developing the way they want him to as potential starter and franchise quarterback moving
forward. That's an excellent point you've raised, Bob. And I would say that I just said earlier that really, in my mind, they've had 2 30-point-worthy offensive efforts the last 2 weeks. They chose not to score against the Chargers, so they have 27. And then yesterday, Pickens fumbles inside the five, and Tomlin doesn't let Boswell try a field goal. So in terms of their ability to move the ball, you raise a good point there. I'll acknowledge that, and I very much admire you for that.
Thank you very kindly, Joe.
All right, let's start with our grading, shall we? We both agree, Bob, that Justin Fields' big picture was the biggest story of this game. Do
yes,
we agree on that?
I totally agree with that. I mean, if you're going to take anything away from it, that's the biggest thing
he
to
took
take
another
away.
Huge step forward.
He did.
He brought them out of a hole. He scored points quickly. Even when they weren't scoring, they were moving the ball in the first half. They moved it all the way down to the Indy 34 on their first drive of the game. They had another drive that Pickens fumbled on, and then he had a field goal drive at the end of the half. That's 3 pretty good drives in the first half, and we saw what he did in the second half. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Speaking of that, Bob, would you like to do a little report card with me? I know you would.
Are we grading on a 4-week curve, or are we
going straight up? No, we're doing the same thing we do every week.
Okay.
We're grading the Steelers
and
along
you're gonna base it with Ray Fittipaldo.
And yours, Ray Fittipaldo. If I could only
find
his report
card. And before you find his report card and tell me what he graded, I want to guess what his grade is, and then I'll tell you what mine would be.
That would be an exciting new twist to the game. Let's do that. What did Ray give the quarterback yesterday? And what would you give him?
I bet you gave him a C+. I'll give him a B+.
Ray gave him a B. I'm with you. I'd give him a B+. I'm not taking away the fact that Justin Fields had two almost ruinous plays yesterday. The fumbled shotgun snap on the last series, and then that
going
whatever that was, the 22-yard loss and the fumble. I don't care if it was a fumble or not. Going back that far in the first place, you can't do, and then trying to get up off the ground, you can't do it.
Cut your losses, fall on the ball, and try to live for another down.
Having said that, he was really dynamic for a lot of that game. I thought he took a step forward. I give him a B-plus as well. Running backs, what do you think Ray gave them? What would you give them, Bob?
Running backs, C-minus, C-minus. I think I'll give him a C-minus, and I would bet he gives him a C-minus.
Ray, I don't know what got into him. He's usually a very harsh grader. He usually hears from the players' parents during the week saying, why did you give my son that grade? He gave them a B-minus. What are we doing here? The lead back had 19 yards on 13 carries. Cordero was really good, but he was only in the game for 10 seconds. He had 6 carries, so I give him a 1-semester A, and the rest of it is a 3-semester F, which comes out to about a C-minus or a D.
That's what I think. C-minus is fair. I'm surprised he went B-minus.
Fields was their best runner. Receivers, what do you think Ray gave them? What would you give them?
Again, wrong. I'm going to take into account the mistake that Pickens made on the fumble, and that to me is glaring, and it will take away anything he's. So I'm going to say
include Freiermuth just to so you know, and Mount Washington here.
Oh, so you keep all of them.
Anybody who caught the ball as a receiver, he says.
I would say C and C minus.
You give him a C minus. He said C. Mm-hmm. He gave them a C minus. I thought that Pickens, kind of like Fields, made an egregious error, but also had a very good game. Jefferson, Calvin Austin, he had that early catch. I thought he might be a part of the offense yesterday. He wasn't. Scotty Miller disappeared. Freiermuth was good, and Mount Washington had a spectacular play. I'm going to give him a C-plus, Bob.
I want to see more Washington.
He's interesting.
There's no reason not to. He's a big mismatch for people. Get the ball in his hands. Leaning forward, he'll gain an extra 10 yards.
O-line, what do you think Ray gave him? What would you give him?
Do you take into account injuries?
No.
Just performance-based, strictly?
Yep. Okay. They drafted him for a reason.
I'm going to say O-line. Ray gave them a C-plus. I'm going to give them a C-minus.
Ray gave them a D. He went back to his harsh grading.
Okay.
They weren't very good. I thought Justin Fields did a lot on his own. He got hit 9 times. He got sacked 4 times. And their lead runner averaged like a yard per carry. Sorry. Plus, they had a false start penalty. And then the personal foul that went against Anderson could have easily gone against Broderick Jones. Not a good day. I give him a D. Did I say D or D,
D
minus?
No, you said D.
You too?
D as in D-O-double-G.
Thank you, Bob.